This is a HeadGum Original.
I'm here. Welcome to the show. Are you a baby beastie?
I'm a beastie boy, I would describe myself as.
A little baby beastie?
A little baby beastie boy. A Blumenfeld beastie boy.
A Blumenfeld beastie b-boy. Baby
yeah.
b-boy.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I would consider myself that.
Thanks for being here, man. Are you ready to punch up the jam?
I think I am. Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Contractually, we're obligated to.
Let's punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up.
Welcome back to Punch Up the Jam. Evan and I are here today with the one, the only baby Blumenfeld, Beastie B-Boy, Amir Blumenfeld. Amir, wow. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was a unique intro. No one has ever called me that before, so it's cool to hear it out loud like that.
That's weird because of the, you think because of the neck tattoo, more people would... do it.
I usually wear a mock turtle on these podcasts, so okay. I'm exposing it for the first time to you guys and to the world at large. Yes, I am a Blumenfeld baby beastie b-boy. Loud and
I'm calling TMZ right now. I'm calling TMZ.
I thought the mock turtleneck was kind of like, I mean, you and I have talked off mic about how much you love Elizabeth Holmes. You're very into the company Theranos. I thought it was just part of your homage to her look, but you just weren't ready to let the world know that you were a Blumenfeld baby beastie b-boy.
I'm ready now. Thank you for giving me the courage. Thank you for giving me the audacity to come out here and say it out loud.
Friends, Amir's joining us on the podcast today not just because he's a world-class comedian and extremely nice and funny guy, but also because we owe our lives and our livelihood to him. He is one of the founders and heads of HeadGum, the podcast network. I like to call him a HeadGummer. He's one of the HeadGums.
Yeah.
He's one of the gum heads.
And I'll say the first thing, I still can't get over this. When we opened up the Zoom, this man is podcasting from a standing position. That is what a pro he is.
Yes. Sitting down would force me to fall asleep instantly. If I'm standing up and I'm on, I don't know if you guys see this, but I'm on a little unicycle style standing ball of sorts. And that sort of keeps the blood flowing, keeps the juices going, keeps the comedy up, and keeps me upright. Frankly. So I'm getting it all from all angles.
Just like the sense of movement I'm getting from you is like that of like a top tennis pro about to return a serve that's coming at you 115 miles an hour. You seem like you're on the balls of your feet. Like you could go any direction. You're definitely not about to fall asleep in a chair like the standard podcaster.
No, and I'm expecting, it's actually a second serve, so I know that I can sort of stand into it and try to return it for a winner if necessary.
Wow, this is a man who knows his tennis.
Oh, yes.
He's returning his second serve for a winner, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, even crazier than that, what if I told you guys I was playing tennis an hour ago today?
An hour ago?
That's what my outfit is.
I'd have no choice but to believe you.
It'd be weird if we didn't believe you, if we were just like, no.
It's true. I played tennis this morning, came home, ate a breakfast sandwich, and now I'm talking to you guys. That's why I'm giving off that tennis vibes.
Is this like a lifelong, passion, or is this like a COVID pickup?
It was a childhood took lessons. That was my little sport as a child, a youth. So like I took lessons in 7th and 8th grade, you know, as kids are wont to do. I never did like Little League baseball because my parents are Israeli. They didn't know what baseball was. So I took tennis lessons with other little Israelis in the neighborhood. And then I didn't really play until COVID, where another buddy of mine was like, oh, I've been playing with my dad. We should play, you know, distance, outdoors, exercise. So we've been playing every Wednesday for the last year. During COVID.
So it is in some important way a COVID pickup. It's a COVID resurrection.
COVID renaissance, yes.
My COVID pickup is I started playing Ultimate Frisbee again, something I hadn't done in many years. And then I was tossing a Frisbee with my kids out in the park. And this dude came up to me, whatever the Ultimate Frisbee version of hitting on you is, this guy did it just sort of like, I see you are throwing a frisbee. Come play in a game with us.
Oh.
And I just didn't have a better answer than, okay. And so I did. And then I got in their WhatsApp group. Whoa. And now I play pickup regularly with him. But what we have in common is that this guy was Israeli. So I'm seeing there's a thread here.
Interesting. Can I ask, was he bald?
No, quite hirsute, I would say.
Really? Name? Uri?
Kim. But there was an Uri in the group. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what was his name?
Kim?
Kim.
K-I-M, an Israeli named Kim? He's lying to you. He's either not from Israel or that's not his name. Impossible.
I mean, I assumed that he had, you know, Americanized some Hebrew name that'd be inscrutable yeah. to me.
I'm trying to even wonder what in the world, what an Israeli name that could have started that ended up at Kim.
You're going to have to do some research. You come back to me with
add
some
into
ideas.
The WhatsApp. Yeah. Add this, into the WhatsApp.
I will. I'm going to add you to the WhatsApp group and you start harassing this guy about his Israeli bona fides.
Get added to the WhatsApp, then add your rabbi to the WhatsApp. You and your rabbi, that you got to get to the bottom of this.
His last name is Shapira, so I never questioned it.
I would play ultimate, but I'm not good at the forehand thing. I never figured that part out.
Ironic for a tennis player, I got to say.
Yeah, ironic. I didn't have a forehand flick. What is that move called?
Yeah, the forehand flick. Yeah,
forehand flick. Yeah.
Can't do the forehand flick.
I can tell you tried really hard to get it for a long time because your terminology is so good. Your terminology is so perfect that there must have been at least 3 years in college where like some neighbor in a dorm
regular.
Was being like, "We're gonna work on it. I'm here this year. We're gonna get your forehand flick."
Yeah, and the way that you're gesturing on this Zoom is very convincing.
Yeah,
yeah. I buy. Well, someday we're gonna get this partnership off of Zoom. And I'll happily trade you tutorials on ultimate forehands for your tutorials on my tennis forehand, which I don't have. But we've gotten far afield, and we haven't even begun yet our journey, dear reader, dear listener, today.
But I feel like we've already warmed up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Amir's Israeli background, you have described yourself as a Blumenfeld
baby
beastie
b-boy.
You're in deep with the Beasties.
Yes, I like the Beasties. I grew up enjoying the Beasties. Like we said, I grew up in LA, a lot of Jews afoot. So the Beastie Boys, and I honestly don't even know if they're Jewish, but they exude white Jewish rapper enough for all of us to look up to these guys as heroes and role models.
I think they're 100. They're Jewish, right?
I think it's been established that they're
okay,
from
great.
The Jewish diaspora at a minimum. So tell us a little bit, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, what made you think, I want to bring this to Punch Up the Jam to discover the ins and outs and see what we might punch up?
Well, I wanted to do a song that I loved rather than a song that I thought had a fatal flaw. So then I was thinking about some of my favorite albums growing up, which is how I landed on. When Miel was hosting, I did Hook by Blues Traveler, which is my other favorite song growing up. So I'm like, okay, we already did that. I already talked about that perfect song.
We can maybe agree that Hook is deeply flawed, so there's a lot to explore there, even if you unabashedly love it.
Yes. And then I remember, of course, listening to a lot of Beastie Boys growing up, and there's already a Punch Up the Jam, I think, about Intergalactic, which is a song that came out a little later in my life when I was like 13, 14. In the Hello Nasty album. So I wanted to do something old school, 80s Beastie Boys from their earlier album. And my first favorite Beastie Boys song was Brass Monkey.
Do you think it was the first Beastie Boys song you ever heard?
I had older brothers, so I always listened to music a little early. So this album probably came out like in 84 and I was born in 83. So I had no reason to listen to it at age 7. But because when I was 7, I had an 11 and a 15 year old brother. I'm like, oh, I'll listen to what they're listening to. Beastie Boys, Two Live Crew, songs that are not made for 8 year olds. And I remember having a Discman, like a Walkman, but for CDs. And one of the first CDs I had was this Beastie Boys CD, which I don't know if my brother bought and I was just using or mine specifically. But yeah, I knew all these songs, Brass Monkey and Girls and Paul Revere and all this stuff. But like,
this
I was
is
in
an
third grade.
Insane first CD for a child to have. Like, Like every, yeah. I feel like everyone's first CD is just something like totally bizarre, but also like with a really accessible hit from that time.
Right, like Sublime.
Yeah, like my wife's first CD was like Gloria Estefan. Oh, I want to hear Conga over and over again. You know, for this to be a child's first CD is just simply hilarious to me. And I think it's especially hilarious to me because the Beastie Boys are a little bit of a black hole for me. I would say like this era of rap is a little bit of a black hole for me knowledge-wise, in part because Evan and I just grew up in a pretty conservative background. We grew up in a very rural area of Virginia, and our parents had loosened up a little bit, but we're only like two generations removed from like Baptists who didn't play cards, you know? Like our dad as a teenager, like this sounds like something out of a movie, but our dad would go to high school dances to stand outside the door and hand out anti-dance pamphlets. You know,
so there's no way that
even as
your
like
life could have gone a completely opposite way.
Yeah. Yes. And even though our parents had at this point their own liberal awakening, we're living very different lifestyle, but, and yet they're still probably loath to have the Beastie Boys in the house.
The simplest like quick explanation is like The Simpsons was banned. The Simpsons is like they say but, they say damn, they say hell no. Like you never watch The Simpsons in our house. And we're actually very lucky, I think, for our comedic future that when we were like young teenagers, a foreign exchange student moved in with our family and our parents felt like they could not tell Vladimir Chernysov that Vlad could not watch The Simpsons. That makes sense, right? You can't tell an 18-year-old college student, hey, you can't watch The Simpsons. But they felt like they could not tell us, like 12 and 15 years old, like when Vova is watching The Simpsons, you can't watch with him. So all of a sudden, The Simpsons opened up and just like our world was transformed.
That's
and
how the Iron Curtain of Comedy Central fell.
Fell in our home. And I'd say also say that within weeks, our dad was like, this show is the funniest show ever. This rules.
Interesting. My family was the opposite way. Like born in Israel, my entire family born in Israel. Then we moved to America in 1985. So there's like holes in my pop culture knowledge. Like we didn't watch classic American things growing up. Like I didn't watch The Wizard of Oz.
Right. That was like a weirdly an event. That was an event in the 80s that it only came on TV like once a year. And like our family would like sit down and watch it. Presumably other families did because it was like, it's the one day of the year The Wizard is airing. What? Yeah. Why?
Yeah. Like Wizard of Oz, Christmas movies, like Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, all that stuff, didn't watch it. But then also my parents didn't give a shit about like in Israel, there's no like, you can't curse on TV and this is too sexual and not show it to kids. It's very like liberal in that regard. So like my dad's favorite show was like Married with Children. So I would just watch Married with Children with him. He would fucking crack up. And I was like 7 years old watching Al Bundy make fun of fat woman in a shoe store.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely on the banned list in our home. That show was like fully
completely
banned.
Totally.
Married with Children. I just need to know, was it dubbed into Hebrew or not? Is this Hebrew or subtitles?
We had already moved to America. But I think they showed it in Israeli TV had American shows with Hebrew subtitles. So yeah, Married with Children and Simpsons. And then the floodgates were open. There was no, don't listen to this, don't listen to that. Like we went the opposite way. We probably watched too much.
I'd say like by the late 90s, early 2000s, as those floodgates were opening, it's like the moment for a lot of the early Beastie Boys stuff was passed. And like, and newer hip hop and rap groups had, we're on the radio, let's say, instead of
Beastie Boys. Right. Nelly took the stage.
My friends love the Beastie Boys. So I heard a lot of it, but never had the album or had it at home, but just in friends' cars at parties. And I think Brass Monkey was the first song I ever heard. But because I was not like playing it in my room over and over to learn the lyrics by heart, like a lot of my buddies maybe were, I never knew that this song, as I guess we can just start playing again and get into it, is about drinking. Is about like teenagers getting drunk, basically. I think I created, at first I'm listening to this, I'm trying to understand it literally. Like they are talking about a brass figurine of a monkey. That's an insane thing to think. But eventually, after I heard it for about the 10th time, I decided that maybe it was some kind of idiom, like a spin on, the closest thing I could think of was grease monkey. As an idiom for a dude that works in an auto body shop, Like a car mechanic is a grease monkey. And I was like, that's what this is about. Some kind of brass metallurgist who is a working class guy and spends his time creating alloys. What a brass monkey, this guy.
I thought it was about Indiana Jones this whole time. I thought it was about a priceless artifact that Indiana Jones was trying to get back for the Yale History Museum. It shows what I know.
That funky monkey.
I'm still not a lyrics guy, but I certainly wasn't then, so I'm probably just like hearing the first two lines. That funky monkey.
Indy.
That funky monkey. Get the funky monkey. But and never getting beyond that to tilt your head back, let's finish the cup.
Indiana Jones, another hole. Never watched it growing up. Never got into like Indiana Jones, Star Wars, all those classic American movies.
I would love it if that was like what your family had banned, if they were just like, this is absolute horseshit about Jewish history. You're not allowed to watch Indiana Jones. That's not the way the Ark of the Covenant works. Us Israelis won't stand for this.
We're Israelis.
We believe
in free love and teaching our children about sexuality. But this foolish lore about space wars, be gone. Okay, I think we're ready to talk about this song, guys. Let's get into it. For me, as the non-lyrics music guy, practically all you need to know other than just the sheer energy of the way the Beastie Boys rap by yelling loud, all you really need to know about this song is this opening hook. I'm just gonna play it. I mean, it's just so simple and so fresh, and it also sounds really weird.
It's really good. It's still good even 30 fucking 8 years later. Is that a horn? Like, what is that instrument even?
Well, I'm happy to share with you that I went and did about 2 seconds of research and found it. Because, of course, this is like early days of hip-hop where like most songs are just made from scratching records. Like, you found a good instrumental hook on like an old Herb Alpert track, and you took one bar that sounded like it slapped by itself and just repeated that over and over. Anyway, this opening hook is from a group I never heard of called Wild Sugar. And let me just play you the opening of this other song. I'll play a little bit longer so you can hear how different it gets. This is a song called Bring It Here by Wild Sugar that had come out only like 2 or 3 years before the Beastie Boys made their record. So this is like they pulled this 45 like right off the shelf at the record store and like just steal this. And then it gets real freaking smooth.
Woo! Wow.
A little bit funky, okay. A little bit like post-disco. It's about to get even smoother. Smooth jazz.
One thing that's just so amazing as you like listen to more and more, like, let's just say it, disco is back. Everyone is listening to disco right now, and as you listen to like a lot of 70s disco, which like I feel like when is just roundly mocked for like 20 years of pop culture, just everyone is making fun of disco. And like, if you listen to any great rap song of the first 10 years of rap, it's just like, oh, they just sampled a disco song. That's like, that's why all these Biggie songs are so good, is just he's sampling disco. The music
we'll
that simultaneously
here,
people
yeah.
were like, well, this disco sucks.
Yeah. The first 4 seconds were great. Actually, watch this. Yeah, they basically stole it.
So they just stole those first 2 bars. The only thing I can hear they added is like an 808 electronic kick that's booming kind of underneath that saxophone sample. There's like a that's a much bigger sized kick drum than the original song, but that's like the only thing before the lyric comes in. I mean, you're absolutely right. I have to say, 3 decades plus later, almost 4 decades later, like it comes in, it just sounds twisted and really good. It just sounds so weird in a great way.
To me, it sounds like just like 2 notches removed from like Harpo Marx's bike horn. like you just have Harpo like standing next to the Beastie Boys playing his bike horns. And to me, that like actually kind of informs like where the Beastie Boys are coming from in that, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Amir, you are the Blumenfeld baby Beastie B-boy. But yep. I feel like the Beastie Boys always were a little bit more tongue-in-cheek than a lot of rappers of their time. You know, like 80% Biggie, 20% Weird Al Yankovic. And
yes, they were silly, for sure. They were like, you know how Eminem has serious songs and silly songs? So I feel like the Beastie Boys sort of started that ratio, and then he took it over from there. Like, some of it is about the fucking war in Iraq, and some of it is about Tom Green fucking a moose. And like, he can do both, and the Beastie Boys played in both as well.
Yeah, and that sample for me is like really setting up the vibe of just like, these are two bike horns that happen to sound really good together, and now like us three teenagers that love getting drunk are gonna sing about that.
With that in mind, can I play this first lyric?
Ass monkey, that funky monkey. Brass monkey, junkie, that funky monkey. Brass monkey,
that's more than real.
Drink brass monkey, here's how you feel.
You put your left leg down.
got this dance that's more than real. Drink brass monkey. Here's how you feel. I think right now, sitting here in 2021, I have no idea what a brass monkey is now that we've brought this song to the pod. Like, sure enough, I Googled it. But I would have had no idea that brass monkey actually referred to a specific drink. And that's what I'm telling you, dear listener, that apparently brass monkey is, number one, a cocktail that you can mix that's probably cheap as hell. It's like vodka and rum and OJ. But also, apparently, at that time, there was an off-the-shelf version of that, sort of like you'd go get a White Claw today or something, that like in a can or a bottle, you could buy something from like a, whatever, beer bottle or something called a brass monkey that was like basically OJ-flavored malt liquor or a mix of the, like, pre-mixed cocktail, basically.
Mm.
And I think that's what they're rapping about. I certainly didn't have any clue about this when I was listening to this as a teenager. I'm telling you now as a Google-savvy adult.
Did you ever walk into a bar, Amir, because of this song and just say, like, bartender, one brass monkey?
No, and you know what? The drink sounds disgusting. And as a kid, I didn't know it was a drink either because, you know, 8 years old. But like, now that I'm an adult, vodka and rum in the same drink doesn't sound appealing to me. Obviously not. I wouldn't want a brass monkey. Great name. Terrible ingredients, I would say.
It sounds horrifying. I guess the thing that I can identify with is just being so basic when you're having your first experiences with alcohol that you like have a bottle of liquor and you just mix it with juice, this like baby drink that you have. I'm just doing 50-50 OJ and straight liquor.
Yeah, and with the vodka and rum, why go one and one with, you know, why do the classic college screwdriver, you know, one vodka, one orange juice, when you could go one rum, one vodka, one orange juice? What a recipe. I mean, that'll really knock you on your butt, on your brass monkey.
What else can we say about what we've heard so far? What we just heard, the last couplet, was MCA with the bottle, D, that's Mike D, rocks the can, Ad Rock gets nice with Charlie Chan.
Yeah.
Help me interpret this. We're identifying each different Beastie Boy has a preferred way to consume.
They're good because it's like a rap group and they all have very distinct voices, and like in every song they usually alternate, and like even as like an 8 year old I can like tell, oh, that's MCA, he's got the raspy voice. Oh, that's Ad Rock, because he sounds like high pitched and nasally. And then Mike D sounds like, doesn't sound like either of those guys. So it's cool that they like jump in on each other, and then they introduce each other usually in every song as well.
I do not know what the Charlie Chan is referring to here, and I'm a little afraid to find out.
I think he's an actor, but yeah, I don't really remember either.
What I'm worried about is that it's referring to a way to drink the brass monkey. But what we're about to get into is the next line here. Let me read you this in advance and we'll listen to it. We're offered Moa, we don't mind shiv us wherever we go, bring the monkey with us, which I think is one of my favorite licks, because they're basically saying that, like, we're so big and popular, which I don't believe at the time they're writing this, maybe after it came out, that we're offered top shelf stuff, but we choose the brass monkey. Our allegiance is to drinking this bottom shelf dollar store stuff. even when you offer us the premium bottle service liquor. Let me play the line for you. There it is.
I wonder who Double R is, because he foots the bill most. Maybe their manager or something.
That's got to be Rick Rubin, right? Who produced this album.
Nice.
Rick Rubin, you know, who, of course, went on to, who started his career and, you know, doing so much rap stuff. But, you know, then is, by the 2000s, doing everything. He produced, you know, Johnny Cash's, you know, comeback records and all that stuff. He's...
Wow. Okay.
He's the guy with the giant beard that you see. In fact, he just had the Netflix special with Paul McCartney or whatever, but he's known in the 90s for, like, Weezer and stuff.
But he's a founder. I mean, he founded the record label that they're on, right?
Yeah. You definitely can credit Rick Rubin with, like, bringing the Beasties to fame. So this certainly would believe that he's footing the bill to get these teenagers drunk,
too. This is the first time I ever realized that I always was like, Double R doesn't make sense for any of the other Beastie Boys. I'm only... now putting it together.
Right. I thought that maybe it was a store like the Circle K and it's footing the bill because they're shoplifting it.
That's cool.
Right. That's the story I had written in my head.
Well, we'll save that for the punch up, you know, which could be in the Circle K. Most definitely. I'm Dream Brass Monkey and I rock well. I got a castle in Brooklyn. That's where I dwell. Brass Monkey. That funky monkey. Brass Monkey Junkie.
It's like, this is not a comedy record, but
it's not a comedy record.
I drink it anytime at any place. When it's time to get ill, I pour it on my face.
And just
the album,
like,
by the way, is licensed to Ill, so you know they have the complete autonomy to get ill whenever they want.
Yeah, I mean, just the perfect record for teens to get drunk to, in terms of just like lowest, like this very like lizard brainstem excitement about just like disobeying, you know, it's just baked into the name.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn is all just partying.
Yeah,
this is just about drinking.
And at this point, this is like, you know, 8 years from now, their entire identity will be about freeing Tibet. But in like the 1980s, their entire identity is like, what's our name? The Beastie Boys. Like, what are we? Licensed to Ill. Like, what do we like to do? Pour malt liquor on our face. like that's who they are. But like, but at the same time, like, I do. I was just as we were chatting, I didn't realize this record was so old, and it really surprised me because I find the rhyming on the song really good. And whenever I listen to early rap, I always, a lot of early rap I see is like, I understand why people were excited about this at the time, but if you flash forward 5 years, if you flash forward 10 years, rap took such great strides in terms of like the meter and the rhyming, where I don't know, this really stands out to me. Like a lot of the slant rhymes and are just really killing me, like Shivas and With Us, like it's just a really, really cleverly done lyric.
I'll grant you that. Yeah. I would never say it's not clever, but can we talk about the yelling?
Mostly Ad Rock, and that's his style for sure. But yeah, they're in your face about it because they're happy to be drunk on the monkey.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That's coming through. I think what I'm feeling is that the yelling is getting at some like elemental energy of being a teenager. Like there's so much middle school mania, middle school manic energy in the screaming. That to me is really selling it. That's why I'm listening to it years later at a high school party, just blasting it. It's so just pure energy. The screaming, the beat itself, bum bam 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 bam, just like the beat one on top of another. Hardly any syncopations. Just like this is the easiest thing to like jump up and down to.
Yeah,
makes me want to bounce vertically and then pour alcohol in my face,
which is nice.
Yeah, not unpleasant. Yeah, many a good night have I had bouncing up and down and pouring vodka everywhere.
I mean, honestly, now that you're just making me think of Four Loko.
Yeah, maybe that's the comp.
Yeah,
college kids rapping about Four Loko. 10 years ago or whenever it was. Yeah. Is
original
like
recipe
song.
Only. Come on, y'all, it's time to get nice. Kind of funky, me and the crew with drinky brass monkey. The scroll of the boy, she gave me the eye, reached in a locker, grabbed a Spanish fly. I put in the monkey, mixed it in a cup, went over to the girl. Yo, baby, what's up? I already said, sit. She gave me lip. Then began to stuff her in, and now she's on my tail. The Beastie Boys with a little Bill Cosby reference here, if I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it's problematic to be sure. This was the 80s. We were all sort of fast and loose with, I mean, if they sort of came out later and discredited a bunch of their songs, including the one about girls doing their dishes and the laundry. So at least they grew up in that regard. But yeah, they kept along a lot of these problematic lyrics in there.
Like I said, flash forward 8 years. Their career has moved on from slipping girls the Spanish fly to get them on their tip. Mm-hmm. It's moved on to freeing Tibet.
Yeah.
You know, and like for your attitude, if you're unfamiliar with the Beast Boys, I'm not joking. They were like the major players in like the Free Tibet movement. And it's like them and Richard Gere are like driving the Free Tibet movement in like 1992, 1993, 1994. And
it's a natural progression any artist's career.
You're gonna have a couple different attitudes if you've gone from thinking about drinking the brass monkey to, you know, freeing Tibet. But also maybe while they were trying to free Tibet, Tibet freed them a little bit.
Wow.
Tibet freed them from their misogynistic attitudes.
That's really cool.
You know, 1 minute you're in the Boomtown Rats, and then the next minute you're wondering if the starving Ethiopians even know it's Christmas time at all.
Yeah.
And that's what I see going on here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only weird thing about them being part of the Free Tibet movement is on their first trip there, they found a mysterious artifact in the mountains.
A brass monkey, yeah.
Indy.
I don't think that's what it was.
Indy.
I just have to pause for a second because I feel like we did cross one new bridge, which is violence. We've been talking a lot about drinking and our different drinking habits, so we've moved vices. Now, what I heard was, I'll down a 40 dog in a single gulp. Okay, confidence in his drinking prowess.
Yep.
Rhymed with, and if you got beef, you'll get beat to a pulp. I guess a couple questions for me. One is, what is this beef about? I'll down a 40 dog, and I guess someone has beef with that. Like, they're mad about somebody being able to drink a 40 in one gulp, I guess.
Well, the beef could be that he was knocked off the stool, because that dry martini drinker was just drinked off his stool before the martini was
down. I see. Okay.
So it's like, hey, I'm here with my friends. Get out of the bar if you've got a beef with me already knocking you off your stool.
Okay, this is helpful. So you're saying it's the same character.
I think this is a part of a larger tale.
Let's rewind it back for the listener. The line is, you, in the second person, you got a dry martini thinking you're cool. This implied Wall Street fat cat here. Yeah. I'll take your place at the bar. I smack you off your stool.
So not violent at all.
And then I, man of the people, will down a 40 dog in a single gulp. I'm working class guy enjoying affordable drinks. And if you got beat, the Wall Street fat cat is then shaking his fist and blubbering and blustering.
Is this Ad Rock? Amir, have I learned my lesson well enough at Who's Who in the Beastie Boys, who's rapping this part?
I think it's Mike D. I'll down a 40 dog in a single gulp. And then the MC is, and if you got beef, that'll be your
so butt. I guess one MCA. Beastie Boy, and it was both of the others. I was wrong. I was the wrongest I could have been at guessing a single
Beastie Boy. Oh, for two, for sure, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, all I wanted to say, the reason I was asking is that the idea that someone could down a 40 in a single gulp is so unreasonable and so impossible that anyone could do that. But if anyone could do it, they would have this voice. The only person who ever could down a 40 in a single gulp like would sound exactly like the Beastie Boys sound in this song. And for this, I doff my hat to them. Is our little vignette here tracking for you now, Evan, of the Wall Street fat cat who's knocked off the stool and basically ordered out of the bar, you know, hey, if you got a beef, come on back and we'll beat you to a pulp. Is this vignette there for you now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes!
Wow.
Yes!
You couldn't say that on the radio in the 1980s. Even the Beastie Boys knew that.
What a classic.
I mean the word fucked. You can't say that on the radio in the 80s.
No, yeah. You can talk about slipping ladies' Spanish flies. That's fine. But do not say the F word.
I love that in a song produced by Rick Rubin, the owner of this record label. A song in which you've already said Rick Rubin is always picking up the tab. You're also saying, like, hey, if this record sells, I've still got my advance. I think that is just, like, startlingly hilarious to be, like, rapping about how your producer slash manager, like, could be losing money on the very cassette tape that he's recording you on.
That's a sick burn. But I can't disagree with him on the essential claim that the song and dance is keeping me in a trance.
Yeah. Only thing that pulled me out of it is the entire verse about date rape. That did not keep me in a trance. Kind of creeped me out. But credit where credit's due. Post-Free Tibet, they disavowed it. So good job on the Beastie Boys.
I can say, just personally speaking, there's no way I understood that as a teenager. Like, I'd hear the opening hook, and then I'm just listening to sounds. And just feeling it, feeling myself. Verse one did not even land with me. Certainly not verse two or three. Clueless about what those were about until today.
Yeah, and sort of me the same. Like, you hear catchy parts, and I know the words, but I never actually think about the meaning. But it's good to go through it one by one and sort of understand it on a deeper level. And you know what? I'm willing to disavow these lyrics too now that I'm a grown man. I also don't think this is good. So I'm glad that the Beastie Boys beat us to it.
Yeah, take that.
It's great. I didn't think we were going to get to this happy place on today's session, but I'm glad we are discovering some chinks in the armor, flaws in this song that I would have said was unpunishable before we embarked on this journey.
And before the session even started, we knew that we were going to take this song and improve it beyond measure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, very easy starting point, starting with a song that the band that put it out has already disavowed, literally said, like, we disavow this. That's great. Yeah. Very easy to improve. You just take that part out.
I know we got to get to actually punching this thing, but I just want to go back for one thing that, like, as I'm stewing on it, is really striking me as really great, which is back in verse two, the date rape section, naturally, but
the section we just disavowed? We're going back to the disavowed section.
I'm going back to it because there's an additional detail I want to talk about, which is me and the crew drinking about smoking. This girl walked by. She gave me the eye. Here's the roofie part. I reached in the locker, grabbed the Spanish fly. Well, one detail here is he reached in the locker. The implication is you're in the halls of your high school and you kept roofies in your locker for just such an occasion. And then proceeding from that, I put it in the monkey there. In this fictional world, they're painting, they're drinking brass monkey in the hall. Like, where else is this taking place that there's a locker?
It's got to be a school. If you jump forward to the beginning of verse three, he's putting the girl down at the bar, which is somehow the during this criminal moment in the Beastie Boys' life, the girl's being transported from the halls of his high school to the bar, which I gotta say, in their minds, as you know, whatever it is, 18, 19 year olds in 1982 writing and recording this, they're like, that's part of the joke for them. They're like, hilarious. We're at the high school, now we're at the bar. We're a comedy rap group. You know, flash forward 10 years, Tibet has been freed. You gotta disavow it. Spin up the last chorus. Let's go back to the unproblematic parts of the song.
Oh, the squirrely saxophone.
You're finally revealing to us that you knew what this instrument was the whole time, Evan. I've been like, is it a bike horn? Amir's like, I don't know what that instrument is. And here, the song's finally wrapped up, and you're like, oh, the saxophone.
Oh, man.
You and your music major knowledge, you've just been withholding from us this whole time.
That's bad on me that I recognized it as a saxophone and then assumed other people would be reveling in it. But, yeah. Pretty sure that's a saxophone, guys.
I'm embarrassed I didn't immediately know that.
Although, well, one thing I will say about this sample, and I think it's true of the original Wild Sugar that they sampled, is that there's two saxophones, or one saxophonist has played the note twice, and it's been mixed in for this, like, doubled sound, almost like you'd get if you put a chorus pedal on your guitar or something. So it makes it bounce a little bit more. It's not a single saxophone note. It's actually two been layered on top of each other.
But they're, like, a little off from each other pitch-wise, right? Like they're, and that's what's really making them as honky as they are, is that doubling isn't just a, I mean, that's what makes a chorus effect so powerful on a guitar pedal, or like when two people are singing the same part, it sounds a little bit more powerful and nuanced. Is like you're never going to have the pitch exactly the same.
It can't be identical, so it makes it sound thicker.
And so that's making it sound thicker, but it's also making it sound just like a little honky.
Yeah, it puts a little thonk in your honk. That's it, guys. That's the end of the song. They closed it on the thonky honk, and your hip-hop DJ is just going to mix it right into the next song at your middle school dance.
Hopefully another Beastie Boys song.
Do you think that would this have been played at your middle school dance? I mean, would this have gotten by the censors?
I don't think so. And my middle school was like in the late 90s, so they would play like Body Movin', Intergalactic era Beastie Boys.
The fresher Beastie
Still about
sound.
Partying, but more about dancing.
The more
aliens.
Current Beastie sound, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe yeah. Sabotage. Maybe.
Yeah. If I'm going to a school dance in the late 90s, it's just like, everybody dance now! That just like has insane energy, but also is utterly uncontroversial lyric-wise.
Yes. Ricky Martin meets Jock Jams.
Hopefully get a Cotton Eye Joe in there.
If necessary.
Okay, guys, I learned a lot, and I think we have a lot to chew on.
Sometimes we punch up perfect songs. Sometimes we punch up terrible songs. This one's somewhere in between, but was mostly disavowed by the band. Mm-hmm, I'd be curious. Later, maybe we'll try to look up like a... I'd be curious to see like a live performance of it in the 2000s, see what they did then. Mm-hmm. But Evan and I are going to go into our laboratory. We're going to make a version of this that's incontrovertibly better. No one could ever think or believe...
Completely unproblematic.
...that the original was better in any way than the one we're going to make. And then... Amir, we'll call you in a week or two, and we'll play the new version.
That sounds awesome. Thank you for having me. And I just wanted to throw this out there. I don't know if this has been done before, but the Beastie Boys were three white dudes trying to rap as hard as possible. So if you need a third white dude to rap on your song, and there are any lyrics, even if it's just a few honking noises, words, lines that I could do, I can record it and send it to you guys. And maybe there's a way we can revive the Beastie Boys trio that way. Obviously, you don't have to use me.
You know, there's kind of a tradition in the pod, as far as I can tell, that there should be an element of surprise with the guest. You know, the guest, we're gonna surprise
you
over the microphone
with
our hilarious punch.
That's
but you
right.
know what? It all happens so fast. It's hard to get the reaction you want from the guest. Why not have you rap?
Well, also, I'm just flattered. This is the first time ever that somebody's come on and volunteered to say, like, you know what? I want to contribute my vocals. I want to be a part of the magic. And so unequivocally, I accept your offer. We're going to get you on this track for sure. We will figure out a way.
Okay. And let me just break out my pros and cons musically and lyrically so that you can use me to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. I'm good at rapping quickly, fast, saying things really quickly and clearly. And I'm bad at everything else with regards to music, instrument, staying on beat, singing, instrument playing. Everything else is bad, but I can rap quickly if I know what I'm reading beforehand.
Could we hear you rap like two lines right now, just we have a sample for ourselves and for our listeners?
Okay.
Of where,
and it could just be any rap lyric. One that I'm making up right now.
Could be either. One that you make up. Yeah.
Oh,
could
like
be from Brass Monkey.
Okay, sorry,
it could be your favorite two lines from Brass Monkey.
Also a bad part. Yeah, I don't know how to freestyle.
Yeah, you know, just for it's something like, you know, my name's Amir. I'm a big fan of the Beasties, and when you hear me rap for your ears, it's a treaty.
Oh, that's really good. So yeah, I couldn't do that. So I need you guys to write it and do it, and then if you send me something, I'll be able to rap.
My name's Amir. I'm a fan of the Beasties. When I rap, it's so funky, it in your ears, it is yeasty.
My name's Amir with a rockin' bod, and if you're listening today, you came to the right pod.
That's good.
Okay,
there's a bagel truck out here in LA called Yeasty Boys. I don't know if that exists in New York, but the pun is there.
I love it.
We will email you and make you honk like a saxophone or something embarrassing.
Yeah, sample, use me. It's like, you know how like this song featuring this song, and then the guy just like sends a verse and it's like, hope this works in your song, and then they use it and now it's like featuring that person. I'll be that. I'll be the parentheses.
Yeah, you'll be the B.O.B. to my Bruno Mars.
Okay.
Exactly.
No way, you're not featured. You're part of, it's a three-person rap group. Amir, you're in.
Even
for this
better.
Song. For this song.
I'm
only.
Available.
Bam, 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 bam.
Bam, beep, bam, 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 bam.
Okay, we're back with a rare treat, which is that this week we are not surprising our guest, Amir, with a punch, but we actually invited him in to guest on this punch up because the whole thing is premised on a thought that he had.
He kind of invited himself in to rap on it, but we couldn't say no.
Yeah, I was sort of the David Brent, go get my guitar. You guys are going to listen to me riff for a little bit right now. And like, you're not going to be like, no, we're okay, actually. We're good. Thank you. But Beastie Boys, three white dudes, like, it just felt right. And I thought
you were filling
a
crucial hole. There's only two of us over here on this side. Yeah. So you're playing a much needed role by stepping in.
What are we going to do? Have one of us do an impression of a third different Gregory?
No.
This is, I mean, your suggestion was great. Your suggestion that you would rap was great. And also your suggestion about the punch was great, which is, you know, the Beastie Boys in 1980s are 20 years old and they're running around New York City drinking Brass Monkey.
Yeah.
What's their get together like in 2022?
Yeah,
when they're in their 40s and just want to relax for Saturday afternoon, but are, you know, have a busy schedule.
Yes, exactly. You don't want to go ham on a Sunday when you're 39 or whatever, but you still want to rap about it. That's not going to go away.
And well, maybe you do want to go ham, but it just looks a little bit different now.
Yep. First of all, different now.
You're putting the ham on your Eggs Benedict,
first of all. Nice. And then also, even though you're drinking less, you feel worse the next day somehow. Like that sort of, which is like kind of like a hacky, like stereotype. I find it to be actually true. Like I cannot drink as much and I feel worse instantly when I do it.
Yeah, you weren't even drunk on the day you were drinking.
Yes. All of the hangover without none of the joy of the being the drunk.
Yes. And yet we keep doing it.
I wonder what the anatomical reason for that is. Is it just we drink less? Is it we're older, so everything hurts more?
I'm pretty sure that the anatomical reason for it is the liver.
Like we're just getting older and things happen worse in our bodies. So poison is processed worse too.
that's my guess, is that your liver just gets worse and worse as you get older. But I can't say I'm sure.
Yeah.
You have less living to do.
Yes. Your liver is lessened because there's less living left. Mm-hmm. Can we record another song?
Okay, let's record another verse. Let's record another verse. We're changing the lyrics.
This one's about my liver.
So we're going to play you the punch, Amir, and like we said, your idea was great, and that was our jumping off point, but we still wanted to surprise you a little bit.
And I appreciate
that. We still wanted
that,
to take it in a direction that you wouldn't be expecting, and I'd like to hear about your recording experience, because we had to do a little bit of cloak and dagger. We couldn't send you the whole song. We didn't send you all the lyrics. I was just sending you your lyrics, so you wouldn't see the rest. What was it like to finally go full Beastie Boy in your podcast studio?
I thought it would be natural because I've been listening to Beastie Boys my whole life, and it's that thing where when you're singing karaoke, it sounds awesome. Well, you guys are actual musicians, so it probably is awesome. But when I sing karaoke, I think I sound awesome because I'm mostly hearing the actual song, and
you're hearing the cheers of your friends.
Yes, exactly. And then when you watch the videos the next day, and you're like, oh my god, that was holy shit. That sounds awful. That's what I sounded like that day when I was screaming into a microphone.
But there's your problem: is you're letting your friends record videos of you doing karaoke.
This was me recording my rapping in earnest, yelling into a microphone, which I had to do after my lady left the house. Because I'm like, I'm not about to yell into a microphone and her just like sort of hearing in the room next door that. Me screaming and be like, oh shit, sorry, coughing because I'm yelling a lot.
You're saying this is such an embarrassing activity that not even my most intimate partner with whom I share my deepest, darkest secrets can hear this.
Yes. Not the raw audio, no. Because it sounded so, when it's isolated like that, it sounded so bad to me. And then the way you guys delivered the song, it wasn't like, this is the whole song and listen, repeat your lines. It's like, there are lines omitted. So like I'm starting early and I'm like, nope, not yet. Okay, I'm starting. Nope, still not yet. And then the song, then the line would come in. I'm like, oh shit, now I'm late. Now I'm rushing it to like sing along. It was not easy. And I hope it turned out fine.
You know what I will say though, proves that you're a natural is, you know, like you said, we delivered the song to you with all these gaps. So we'd left our lines out. So we could hopefully still get some chortles from you today. And that does make it really hard with the timing. You know, when exactly am I coming in? And then you're in a half half beat too late, right, and then you're just going to be behind the whole time.
Yeah.
But at the very end of all of his takes, Amir, you know, said into the mic, "I'm just going to spit, you know, freestyle. I'm going to go without the track. I'm just going to go through everything," and all those just no beat. Perfect. Those are all the ones we used.
It's half the Eminem and 8 Mile. Fuck the beat. I'll go a cappella. Like, exactly. Here it is. Mm-hmm. And then half the actor instinct in me where it's like, that didn't work. So here are all my lines wild. Replace the current versions that you have with these wild lines.
It was all the wild lines.
You just
used.
Saying, like, that was great. Just use the wild lines, which is like me, like, literally, like, reading it like VO. You didn't use it all when I was actually rapping to the song.
It's just me being a lazy editor, just taking the last version of everything.
The last version is always the best.
The last version is always the best.
Again, from acting, yeah, you take the last take, and if it's there's some parts that aren't good, all right, let's go to the previous take and see if there's any replacements. But yeah, I guess I nailed it in 4.
These are crucial industry secrets you're revealing.
What we're saying is you nailed it.
I eventually nailed it. Do you guys think I needed to do the first 3 versions to warm up, or I could have just gone straight into the wild?
You could have gone straight into the wild.
And it's been fine, one and done.
Honestly, if we hadn't even sent you the lyrics and you'd gone straight into the wild, you're so good, you probably would have said all the lyrics we'd written without seeing them.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. I needed to hear that. It's been I did some soul searching this weekend after finding out how difficult it was to rap. It's also
about
difficult
you're
by yourself. There's no producer being like, do this differently. So I'm just sort of browning out, yelling into a microphone, hoping it's not peaking. And then I have to listen back and like, oh God.
Yeah. It is
all
peaking.
Right, here it goes. Let's do it again. No,
where's
notes,
your Rick Rubin?
You needed a Rick Rubin in the room, looking over your shoulder, just creating a vibe, passing you a jar of Brass Monkey.
Yep. Oh yeah. And I was also like bone sober, like super dry, just finished dinner. And
huge
now I'm
mistake
yelling
for this track.
For
I'll also say from doing my vocals, this sort of rap screaming, I really maxed out at about 45 minutes. I had about 45 minutes to get my takes, and then it was like anything else I need to redo, I'm doing tomorrow.
Especially during the COVID era, you're like, all right, here it goes. Now I feel like a sore throat. This is the beginning of it.
Now I'm going to be coughing
myself
on the subway on the way home. Yep. Everyone's going to be looking at me, but it's only because I was screaming parody lyrics to Brass Monkey, not because I have COVID, guys.
Also, were you guys doing an MCA impression? Were you guys doing an Ad Rock? Were you guys doing a Mike D? Like, what sort of Beastie Boys rapping were you doing?
We should have coordinated. I went last, and I felt like there was an MCA-sized gap in your performances, so I tried to sit there.
That's
but
good.
Functionally speaking, Andrew has more lyrics, so he's the MCA.
My name is MCA, I got lots to kill. Like, he's already, like, raspy, like, off the bat. And, like, Ad Rock is, I did more of that, where it's like, I can't walk by, gives me the eye, like that kind of guy. But I didn't want to do an impression.
I just tried to focus on volume and a nasal tone.
Okay.
I wasn't in the weeds enough to be thinking about which Beastie am I. Mm-hmm. I was living my truth as our own version of the trio of Beasties, having a Bellini at a brunch place in Brooklyn.
I like it.
Let's get to the playback.
This part's still great.
This part still rips.
This holds up.
My extra peachy.
So far, so good.
Please me, my extra peachy. It's been too long since the gang's all here. Let's raise the glass to another year.
Raise your hand. Let's order brunch. Eggs, hollandaise, and granola. Crunch.
I'm with the waffle. I say that rocks the eggs. Amir's blathering on about cousin Greg. No spoilers, please. I'm way behind. Cause to finish, dude, I had to start 5 times. I get the picture. Eat up,
boys. Amir starts to text girls.
You sound sick.
Well, really gets me with the Bellini. I don't know why.
We should do this every week like we used to do. But not next week, something I can't move.
Maybe Thursday night, now that's a PTA. Weekly standing meeting.
Any good brunch has a lot of scheduling talk.
For a cup of tea.
I can't because I'm hosting my wife's family.
And next Saturday night, I know we'd all be down.
Oh man, I'm actually going out of town. You know how I've been commuting to Yale? The chair of the department is trapped in jail in a tiny mountain village in Myanmar.
That was not delivered to me at all. Just like 8 seconds.
That doesn't seem like part of your job description. But if I pull it off, tenure is my prediction. A jailbreak and steal a priceless treasure. You're with your boy beyond any measure. Plus the relic gives endless powers. If I get it past the border with it hit in my trousers.
Hey man, this sounds like international crimes. Boy, just feel it's getting near the
kids dinner time. This was really nice. This was really fun. Let's go to a play date soon. My daughter and your sons. Good luck with the whole trip. It sounds really cool. The relic eyes glimmer with priceless jewels. I see it while I'm dreaming. I breathe it.
What is
I
that?
It. I love the brass monkey. I'll come back to jewels for it. I do what I have to if I must to reunite with my precious.
Brass monkey. That funky monkey. Brass monkey junkie. That funky monkey. Brass monkey. That funky monkey. Brass monkey junkie. That funky monkey.
Okay.
Astute listeners will recognize this sample as the soundtrack to Indiana Jones.
So I finally put it all together at the end. Like, it, I heard the Indiana Jones. I'm like, what is that? That sounds so familiar. I'm like, wow, this is a very funny, detailed conversation about a guy who's stuck in Myanmar. I'm like, Dr. Jones, Brass Monkey, the song. This is a fucking Lonely Island parody about Indiana Jones set to Brass Monkey because the drink is named after this famous statue in a movie. All right, I got it. I'm there. I caught up.
Yes. And if only this guy wasn't the bad guy in Indiana Jones 5, that they could be having brunch the next week, every week, getting together every week like they used to do.
Yeah. I mean, I thought whatever you guys did to me helped a lot. Like, what I heard when I delivered to you, I was a little bit afraid. It came together really well. What did you guys do musically to my singing? Like, what filters did you add that made it sound pretty good?
Okay, production-wise, yeah. Right here, we'll just drop in all 10 minutes of the audio you delivered. We'll drop that in right here.
Unmixed. Okay, now we're back.
Unmixed, untouched. And then everyone will know what it sounded like when it was bad.
Yeah, so, okay, now you've heard the raw takes, yep. And we're back.
And you're definitely not listening anymore.
I mean, the main thing we did was add like overdrive and saturation so that it sounds just like a little bit distorted, like the three beasties are in a studio on hot mic, and then just a little bit of reverb so that they sound like they're in the room together, and just trying to match as best we can without the original equipment. It's trying to match the sound of the way Brass Monkey sounded with those three guys.
And Frank, a lot of the software that is famous for being able to move pitch, stuff like Autotune, stuff like Melodyne, which obviously we have some level of experience with, that can really mess with the rhythm of singing and rapping too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a great shortcut in the studio because you have like three people rapping and their one consonant is a little bit off. You can nudge that in Autotune or nudge it in Melodyne.
Cool. Yeah, that helps a lot.
Yeah, so since we weren't in the same room, I did do that. I moved that around so we could like really be on the same lyrics together. Granola crunch,
right.
Has to slap. It has to slap.
It has to be as crunchy as granola.
Yeah, that was good. So it makes sense that I delivered, once you guys listen to this song, it's like when I'm not singing, like there's 8 seconds of silence in my ear. So like I'm just like waiting, trying to come in at the right time. But you know, the beat just repeats, and I have no idea when I'm supposed to come in.
Because you didn't know that Andrew was going to be rapping a long verse about traveling to Myanmar to rescue the brass monkey,
an
idol.
I did not know that.
Had to go through all this cloak and dagger stuff and leave out all those lines so Amir could still be surprised that I'm basically an Indiana Jones villain.
I mean, it's good. It came together. It really does sound like a Lonely Island song where it's just like three people giving it their all, rapping about something kind of silly and, you know, having that parody, that satire to it. Have you guys done that before? Like, silly raps like that?
What a question.
We have done some silly raps, but honestly, the last rap I did, it was very much not in this style. It was kind of like a laid back, like 2019 smooth flow about a dead fish handshake. Mm-hmm. So it was not a screaming, like a screaming MCA impression like this is.
That's cool.
We've done a lot of silly raps. You know, we've deleted more silly raps than you'll ever do. I'll find a way to just slide some old takes into the podcast feed. Me rapping about Kellyanne Conway's microwaves, Andrew rapping about a dead fish handshake.
Now, I will say, I was listening to this on the way to the studio today because we had a new mix in. I was just giving it a listen. And the mix was so final, I could just kind of have a laugh about it. It was very funny to me. But when we got to your delivery, Amir, of we should do this every week like we used to do, it just hit a little different for me.
Wow.
It made me a little sad. I was like, this is a very, very silly song, but just like imagining sitting around with my friends and one of them saying, we should do this every week like we used to do. Just too real.
Yeah.
Too real.
If it helps you, we can sort of recreate the entire License to Ill album.
Yeah.
Let's do this. If this one's a hit, then we'll just go straight into... I think I started rapping the next song once in one of these takes because I used to listen to this album all the way through. And as soon as one song ends, it just goes to like slow and low. And it just like starts instantly. Like it might as well be the next. Yeah. This is still the current song. So it all blends together.
You know what we should do? We should just do this again next week. You guys are free. You guys are free next week to do this again.
Let's do this again next week.
Checking my calendar.
Yeah, Wednesday night we'll get together and record a podcast for Wednesday. Thursday.
Supposed to do something on Wednesday.
I have a thing I can't move.
We're going to get it scheduled maybe on Tuesday night. Amir will definitely be back next week on the podcast
again. I'm doing an Eminem impression for a different podcast next week, so I think it would have to be some time. Okay. Let's relink in the spring. So we're not feeling so cold and sick.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have this nailed down. But also when we come back, we're going to talk to Amir about his walk-in music.
Let's punch it.
Punch it!
Amir, thanks for spending your day with us, working diligently to punch up this song. I feel like we come a long way, and we like to close the show with a segment, say a palate cleanser, a tempo changer, that we call walk-in music. And the idea here is that you can share really any song that you like, but you tell us what you would use this song to walk into. This is your walk-in music for a scene of your choosing. So, you know, you're showing up to your own court date, you're showing up to a Chipotle, you're arriving at a family reunion, and what is your walk-in music? I'm not going to put you on the spot immediately. Andrew and I are happy to do our own walk-in music first. And I think Andrew originally thought that he was only going to ever have to do this once, and then he'd just have his walk-in music.
It's been firmly established that I thought I was going to do this once. I picked Baba O'Reilly by The Who, and now Evan is making me do it every week. And as we're having to dig deeper and deeper, my scenarios are just getting weirder and weirder. You know, you start getting into some weird songs. You got to have some weird scenarios.
Yeah, we're like 10 to 12 episodes in here on our 1,000 episode run. So, you know, we get about like 7 or 8 years in here. It's going to get pretty weird.
And I know what you're wondering right now. You're wondering, is Andrew a scenario guy or a scenario guy? And I just want to let you know, either, just whichever I want.
Wow.
Just mix it up every time.
Wow. That's true. We do have an Aunt Sherry and an Aunt Janie. So we're wild cards.
Yeah.
You never know what we're going to do with those vowels.
Okay. You ready to spin up my my walk-in song here, Evan?
Yeah. Lay it on me, bro.
Okay. So here's my scenario. In this scenario, I'm coming off of a jet bridge. I'm coming off a jet bridge. And it's one of those jet bridges. You know what? I come through the jet bridge. I'm coming through customs.
Are you boarding the plane?
I guess it's kind of a walk out song because I'm walking out of customs into the part of the airport that normal people can be. People without tickets. What part of the airport's that called? The lobby?
This is like your Love Actually song. You know, the whole thing where people are coming home from international trips being greeted by their loved ones.
Yeah, it's a Love Actually song. I'm coming through customs. I'm being greeted by a loved one that I haven't seen in a long time. In this scenario, I guess COVID happened. So we haven't seen each other in even longer. And I'm coming through customs. Now I'm making eye contact with the person who I'm here to meet. But there's still a lot of rigmarole I still have to do, right? Maybe I need to get my bag. Maybe it's one of those situations where, like, you're about to walk out and an annoying security guard comes over to you and is like, hey, do you have your bag check card? I need to see your bag check card. And you're like, what? Really? Like, where did I even put my bag check card? Do they give people bag check cards? So here, during the guitar solo, I'm, like, running. I finally get past the bag check guy, and I'm running. And I'm finally getting to the person, and then this part I'm still running. I guess I never thought about this as my Love Actually song. For me, it's more of like a poor man's Royal Tenenbaums.
Just say the words. Just say "and we embrace," and then I'll fade it up for the feels.
Okay, skip it back to the end of the guitar solo.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Okay, and then here it comes. Right where he takes, I love this, one of my favorite Vampire Weekend songs. I just love that he does that whole first half of the song down an octave, and then he pops up the octave for the end of the song, and just takes to this like really heightened, beautiful, emotional place for me. I love this song, and that is such a cool, beautiful songwriting move that I don't think you hear a lot. Short song. That's it. Vampire Weekend 2021.
Wow, Andrew, this is one of the most sentimental versions of this segment we've ever had.
Could be my good Love Actually song. I hate Love Actually. Or it could be the poor man's Royal Tenenbaum scene where Richie Tenenbaum is getting off the boat and he's seeing Margot, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, for the first time in a long time.
Wow. I got a little bit of feels during your description, man. That was really great. And boy, have you come a long way from the pure testosterone of Bob O'Reilly. Okay, I'll share mine, Amir, and then we'll put you on the spot. You can go last.
Okay.
Mine, I'm cheating a little bit this week because, like the Beastie Boys, the song I've picked is like not a comedy song, but it's not a comedy song. And it's closer to comedy song than Brass Monkey. This just happens to be the first thing I thought of this week. Nothing other than that. And it is also almost explicitly a walk-in song. Specifically, this song. Whoa. This song is called Bank Account, and it's by this jazz pop guy that I love named Lewis Cole. And the song is called Bank Account, and you would think I would use this for my walk-in music to the bank. No, this is when I walk in to fight with my health insurance customer service representative. I don't want to check my bank account. I'm too scared to check my bank account. I don't want to. Check my bank account. I'm too scared to check my bank account. Check it.
There's a reason why you can't go to the office of your health insurance company. There's a reason why there's not like a local branch of Emblem that you can just walk into and be like, hey, just checking in on my health insurance account. And it's because people would just be in there flipping tables every day.
Yeah, they don't allow that because as a society, we're trying to reduce stabbings. Anyway, the lyric here is, I don't want to check my bank account. I'm too scared to check my bank account. And that's it. But it's also just so funky. It gets me in a fresh mood. I will just say that maybe in the podcast description we could drop a link to this or something. But the official title of this song is Bank Account, parentheses, short song.
Is there a long version, 10-minute version?
To my knowledge,
Taylor's version?
To my knowledge, there is not. But I would listen to this fresh keyboard riff. It's almost like he's playing a clavinet part here. It sounds like the clav part on Superstition or something. I would listen to this for 10 minutes. Check it.
Evan, let me just say that you've come so far in your walk-in songs since your first one. Just really a testament, you know, you stepped away from the toxic masculinity of your early walk-in songs. And it impresses me so much that I'm going to step across the room here, wrest the mouse from your control.
Oh, no.
And get into the soundboard zone. Because when you pick a song that good, I just think to myself,
we will watch your career with great interest.
Was that Michael Caine?
That was Senator Palpatine addressing Anakin Skywalker, then played by Jake Lloyd in Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
We will
Anakin
watch your
Skywalker.
Career with great interest.
We will watch your career with great interest.
We should get some Michael Caine in the soundboard, though. Some Michael Caine in the soundboard would be great.
Yeah, I don't have any quotes top of mind, but something as Alfred, I think we could find some good stuff there that really could serve the...
Honestly, the best Michael Caine quote for the soundboard wouldn't actually be Michael Caine. It would be the two guys impersonating Michael Caine in the movie The Trip. All of the best Michael Caine quotes are from that scene. She was only 17. You just put that in the soundboard.
Yep.
That's my impression of them doing an impression of Michael Caine. It's very bad.
Okay, well, that suggestion for the soundboard was so good, Andrew, that I'm forced to say,
you're the man now, dog.
Was that Michael Caine?
That was Michael Caine.
Scottish Michael Caine.
Insane.
Okay, we can finally pass the conch to you. Paint us a picture. I mean, what's your walk-in song?
Just finished playing online poker with 4 to 5 friends. Was down to the felt, had about $2.50 left to my name, was able to triple up with Jack 10 suited, turn that 750 into 21.25. I leave the night. The session is over. and I have $1.25 worth of profit. I walk out of my little home office slash studio slash poker room. And this song plays as I explain to my girlfriend that I've actually made cash.
Yes. Yes. This song is the actual opposite of I don't want to check my bank account. Heaven's Walking song. You want to check your account when this comes on because you just made $1.50 playing poker.
Oh! I mean, this is an all-timer. No one has yet brought this song as their walk-in music. But you can't think of an instrumental hook that hits harder than this massive brass lick at the top of this song. God, sounds
and
incredible.
Instantly. Kind of Brass Monkey-esque. Maybe I have this thing for that.
I mean, I have posited for several weeks now that the best walk-in songs all start with a really strong, like, instrumental opening. Because you don't want lyrics at the top of the song overshadowing your entrance.
Mm-hmm.
You need something that really, like, identifies it's Amir. He's walking in with this great lick, but you don't want Beyonce singing at the top. That would overshadow it.
Oh, it's perfect, man. You burst through the doors just waving that dollar bill, two dimes, and a nickel in the air. Great pick. Anybody could walk in to almost anything with this. It just feels so good. You're just bursting in the doors.
That's right. Especially because I just made $1.50 Venmo. That's pure profit.
What would you say is the high? What is the largest amount of money you've ever left this weekly game with?
Maybe $80.
$80. Wow, you cleaned up that night. You're quadrupling your stash.
I was feeling right. I hit the cards. The poker gods were with me, and I made some real discipline laydowns and avoided some real bad beats. That's as good as it gets as the $80.
I literally understood none of what
honestly,
you just said.
My perspective is put this man in a press conference. Like, you know, that was as press conference ready for a poker tournament, Amir, as like someone sitting down after a baseball game and being like, it's a team effort. We all played our best, like, you know, just the spotlight shown on me tonight.
Yeah, it sounded like you had met with the team's media coach for sure. Well, what better song to take us out, folks? I'm here. Where can people find you online? You're on Twitter at Blumenfeld, is that right?
I'm on Twitter at Blumenfeld. I'm on TikTok as OK Bloomer. I'm on Instagram as Amir. How's that for being an early adopter?
And not to forget, he's at the top of every HeadGum podcast. He's the lady that says, this is a HeadGum podcast. So you can hear him all over the network. I'm Evan Gregory. You can find me online at GetSomeEvan.
I'm Andrew Gregory. You can find me at AroseGregory. And this has been another episode of Punch Up the Jam. Amir, thanks so much for hiring us. We've really been having a blast doing this. And, you know, hopefully we're doing it for at least, you know, 30, 40 years.
At least, yes. We're on episode 500 of my podcast with Jake. So I feel like you guys have at least that much in you, if not another G. Another G above that.
Another G?
Yeah. It's a lot of 1,500-ish.
A lot of
walking
songs
here.
I got to think of.
Yeah.
We're going to be going so deep. I hope that it comes back around and we can bring all the walk-in songs back to get punched up.
Yeah.
And speaking of walk-in songs, astute fan of the show, Kyle Marshall, has created a Spotify playlist featuring every walk-in song we've had thus far, continuously updated. We will link it in the show description so you guys can go listen to it, check it out, spin it whenever you want, and take that walk-in energy into your life on the daily. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been Brunch Up the Ham.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up while you beat your feet. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Punch it. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Get the party going. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it.
That was a HeadGum Original.